From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1825 when the second largest canal in the world had its grand opening. The Erie Canal was considered an engineering marvel of its time with a series of 83 locks and the capacity to accommodate boats carrying up to 30 tons of freight at a time. The canal revolutionized commercial shipping and led to people founding hamlets and villages all along the banks. And now more than 200 years later, nearly 80% of upstate New York's population lives within 25 miles of the canal. Now, canal traffic reached its peak in the early 1950s, but saw a steady decline after the opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway in 1959. Recreational boating on the canals has also declined significantly. So, if you were going to try to do this, how would you reimagine the canal for 2018, for 2020, 2025, into the future? The New York Power Authority and the New York State Canal Corporation partnered to launch a $2.5 million global competition with the goal of finding the two best projects that will serve to spur economic growth, recreation, and tourism all along the waterway. They got 145 entries submitted, some from other states, some even from other countries, and seven finalists were chosen. Today, just a couple of hours ago, the two winners were announced, and that happened at the Memorial Art Gallery. Well, now, this hour, we're joined by the winning teams to learn about their projects, their vision for the canal, and their goals for shaping the canal's future. And what's really neat about this is the two selections, the two winning projects, are very, very different, as you are about to hear. So welcome this hour to Gil Quinones, who is president and CEO of the New York Power Authority. Gil, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Also with us is Jamie Kowalsik, Assistant Planning Director for Madison County and member of the Canal Side Pocket Neighborhoods team, which you're going to hear about. Jamie, congratulations. Welcome to the program here.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
And Jamie Meerdink is here, Project Manager for Parks and Trails NY and member of the Erie Armada team, which you will be hearing about. Jamie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Rory McAvoy. Rory is co-founder of Area 4. That's an event design firm and a member of the Erie Armada team. Welcome, Rory.
Thank you.
I want to know where everyone is based here. Rory and Jamie, where's home for you?
New York City for me.
Okay. And
we're a statewide organization, but we're based in Albany.
Based in Albany. And you are out in Madison County, Jamie, is
that right? That's great. So Central New York, our office is actually in Wampsville, New York.
I had to look up Canastota on the map there. It's east of Syracuse is the simple way to describe it.
Correct.
Okay. Maybe 90 minutes or so from here, roughly.
Yep.
Okay. And Gil, the Power Authority is based where?
Well, we are statewide, but our headquarters is in White Plains, New York.
All right. So from all across the state here, and Gil, this was a competition that kind of take us through how this came together, and then the fact that I hope I'm correct when I say not only multiple states, but multiple countries had submissions. Is that right?
Absolutely. So about 2 years ago, the state decided to transfer the Canal Corporation from the Thruway Authority to NYPA. And the first thing that we did right away was to think about what are the possibilities of this asset. I live in New York City. I live in the section of New York City where the High Line was built. This was an old elevated railroad track that was abandoned, and it was reimagined, and now it's a park and really spurred all kinds of development in the west side of Manhattan. And so I challenged our team and basically asked them, is there a High Line idea for the New York State canals? And so that spurred and really created this idea of having a global competition that we announced last year during the bicentennial celebration in Syracuse. 145 countries, 145 entries, I'm sorry, from seven countries and nine states. Very, very excited. We whittled up down to seven, and with us today, with you here, are two of the very, very best, the winners.
Well, then why don't you kind of give us a sense for what your goals were, Gil, because when you think about a High Line for the canal, for those who haven't been to Manhattan, the High Line, it's a really cool space. It's beautiful. It's elevated. I've been there myself, and I can see the impact it's had. But the canal is obviously a much longer space with a lot more options for either looking at residential, which we'll talk about, you can look at events, which we'll talk about. You have two very different winners. What were your goals here? Did you want to have the two winners be very, very different? Did you have an idea in mind?
Absolutely. And it speaks to the multi-use and potential multi-purpose of the canals in the 21st century. You know, it's really no longer a commercial shipping route. It's really more now for tourism, for waterfront development, for agricultural irrigation than the original purpose. So the award, the participants that we received were just fantastic and amazing because they were so varied. And as you can see today, the two winners are very different, but both just amazing, amazing ideas on what can be possible.
You had seven finalists. I know you wanted the public to be involved, and they helped choose those finalists, right? What was the process?
The process was we had 145 entries. We had a world-class judging panel of various expertise in urban planning and architecture and expertise in upstate New York, economic development. And then they brought that down to seven finalists. We asked those finalists to refine their entries. We gave them some funds to do that. And then, finally, we were down to today and announced this to two winners.
Okay, so you want to introduce briefly, and then we'll explore with the actual the firms, the companies here, and the people involved?
Yeah, so the first winner this morning that we announced, the Erie Armada, they won $500,000 to make their idea come to life, and that's what we hope to happen next year. So I'm just going to introduce the team here from Erie Armada.
Yeah. So let's talk about what Erie Armada is as a concept, how it came together, and I'll turn to Rory and Rory McAvoy. Poor Rory McAvoy. What is it like having a name like Rory McAvoy with a global star with nearly the exact same? You're looking at that going really?
I've heard it before.
I know. It's probably a pain in the ass.
It's always funny.
Rory and Jamie, take me through how the concept came together. Tell us about what the Armada is.
Sure. We were developing a waterborne programmatic event on the canal. And to differentiate it and to make it unique and authentic, we looked into the history of the canal and looked at what folks are looking to do now, particularly as a destination event. What would entice people over time on an annual basis to come up and enjoy and experience the canal in a fresh and exciting way that was also reverential to the history of the canal? Beer was such an important part of the canal. The canal was such an important part for the industry way back in the day. Earlier this year, microbreweries have passed the record that was set in the 1870s for the first time. And a large part of that is held right around the canal area. So matching craft beer, the creativity and the small businesses that are involved along the canal, beer is a great component for an event. And then turning it into a competition on the water, extending it to a multi-day destination experience. That's where we landed, and we're really appreciative that we're going to be able to develop this now into an actionable program and event.
When I first watched the video for the Erie Armada, I thought you could probably replicate this at various places along the canal, but what are the destinations, the locations that you have in mind, and be as specific as you can for the public now that we're going to put this thing in motion?
Well, so during the ideation phase, I guess, we laid out a couple of options. One was located near Syracuse. One was Rome to Utica. Then there was more of a capital region location. But the idea really is not to be so specific. The idea is to be able to have any place where you have 15 miles on the canal and you can have people have these festivals on either end, and then have a really cool experience like going through a lock in a kayak or a human-powered boat is a really cool thing, especially with potentially hundreds of other people. So really anywhere you have 15 miles on the canal, you have a lock or some other cool infrastructure that you want to highlight, you could do this. So we do have some places in mind, but the idea is to replicate it elsewhere and do it different places each year.
Okay, and so forgive me, guys. When are we going to see this happen?
2019, probably third quarter, fourth quarter.
Yeah, so think Oktoberfest meets boat race.
Oktoberfest meets boat race. And so ideally, if you did it in October, is that too ambitious for a year from now?
I don't think so. I think in and around.
Gil is saying yes, guys. So
in and around that time.
Yeah, it's not too ambitious. The idea is that this is an annual event that's self-sustaining over time, and like every event, it grows and it reflects on years past. But we're building this to happen next year.
What is the realistic attraction in terms of numbers? Do you have those in mind for who you can attract, how long they'll stay? I mean, are they in for a long weekend? Will they come for just the event itself?
As conceived, the event is basically a three-day right. type of thing. That's kind of the duration. As far as numbers, it's hundreds, but other than that, Rory, do you have any specifics on that?
Yeah, we can't say the sky's the limit. There are physical parameters on accommodations, the mix of accommodations from self-style camping to B&Bs and location, the first location that we're at, also the second location. These are parameters that we are constrained by, just physical parameters. In terms of growth, I mean, that's the great thing about a concept like this. It is an event. It's flexible. It's not something that's just built and that's your capacity. It's something that can flex with the demand and over time, you know, how it evolves.
It becomes an annual event, yes?
That's correct.
The Erie Armada. And let's say in 2025, you guys have multiple years under your belt now. Set the scene for me. What does this event look like? Take me through the 3 days.
I'll let Roy take that one. I mean, I'll start, actually. I think the first day is a festival where you're going to have collaborations of maybe a local brewery with a brewery from another country or in the Great Lakes somewhere or New York City. These are craft brews. So people are kind of coming for the beer for a festival. And a lot of these people are going to be actually participating in the race. And I'm using quotes right now. This is a fun race, not exactly this isn't a cutthroat competition among professionals. This is a fun beer-themed race. But then you also have members of the public who might just come for the festival component at either end of the race, or they might actually get their kayak or boat out on the water and kind of go down the canal with our participants.
That's that. It evolves. However, it'll evolve, A, with the industry, the craft beer industry, as it is currently evolving and has been growing at an exponential rate. We'll see how that plays out over time. But the idea here is that people who come to this event will want to come back, and people who come to this event, certainly who haven't experienced the canal, will want to come back to the canal region by themselves and experience it again in maybe a less beer and festive way, but in the unique ways that this destination event is meant to drive destination travel.
All right, so the Erie Armada, a three-day weekend. You're going to aim for roughly around October. You're going to do it on an annual basis. Why, Gil, did this one stand out?
It stood out because, you know, it highlights the iconic nature of the canals. It brings history, but it also brings the present and the evolution, for example, in this case, craft beer, which, by the way, our governor has been really supporting. Wine, craft beer, dairy products, agriculture in general. So all the arrows are pointing in the same direction of really highlighting and utilizing, redefining this asset.
And do you get the sense that there is a lot of demand, that this is especially in this town, this is a festival town. And every time there's a new festival, people have to figure out how it slots in and figures into the calendar. Is there demand, and is this the right time and place for an event like this?
I think the idea is so fantastic that there will be demand for it.
Let me also ask, before we get to Jamie Kowalczyk talking about a very different winning proposal, let me ask Gil and Jamie and Rory about this. What we often hear is the multiplier effect, this idea that if you invest public dollars, that there's a return on that investment. And you know, Gil, I think a lot of people are going to be excited about this. You're going to get a lot of attendance. You put beer in a canal and together, it's impossible to sort of have it go all that wrong. But I think the question on what is a realistic return on the investment is a fair one, and sometimes taxpayers get skeptical about that. So take me through your vision for why this is the kind of thing that does bring in what we might call a multiplier effect.
I think because, as was described before, when people get to this area of New York, especially along the beautiful canal towns, people love it, and they tend to return. And that's what we're really counting on this. By having this really cool event that people who might not be coming up to this area of our beautiful state, you know, people from New York City or tourists from other states, once they discover the canal, you know, people naturally fall in love with it.
Okay. Rory, what do you think?
Following with that, industry and the aficionados of craft beer, there already is a willingness to travel, to go try your favorite beer, to try a new collaboration or a limited release. And part of our concept really does leverage that in its own right. So in a small sense, that as part of the larger goal of getting people to enjoy the canal itself is another enticement. Those collaborations are intended to be near breweries, near canal breweries, with other state breweries, out of state breweries, out of country breweries. So over time, that should develop its own kind of following.
Okay, Jamie.
Kind of this theme. We do an annual bike tour from Buffalo to Albany. It's a fundraiser, but people, you know, we had two people this year that came back for their second time from Australia. And what really, it's not just the cycling. They can do that.
Australia? Anyway.
Australia.
To Buffalo.
The second time.
Most Australians love Albany.
But, I mean, they came back because it's not just cycling. It's the canal, the infrastructure. You're right beside it almost the entire time from Buffalo to Albany. Same thing here. When you combine these two things, that's, I think, where you where you get your payoff.
Yeah, let me just say, as someone who has done a lot of bicycling myself with my son, this year especially, alongside the canal, that is one tremendous piece of infrastructure. Yeah. It's remarkably well kept.
And as you know, the governor is funding to create the Empire Trail, connecting, you know, from New York City all the way up to Canada, and then from Albany all the way to Buffalo, a continuous bike and walking trail.
And Rory and Jamie, is the idea for an Erie Armada, an event, a kind of a craft beer festival on the canal, does it make more sense as 3 days as opposed to 1 day? Because if it's 1 day, it's harder to convince anybody who's not within driving distance, whereas if it's 3 days, you get people to come in, they will stay, they will plan a weekend?
Yeah, the concept allows for 1 day as well, by the way. So it's not like you're locked into a 3 day, especially if we're hosting in the town, then we wouldn't expect people then to just come down the block and then have to stay at the Erie Armada site for the weekend. But yes, you're absolutely right. Looking at destination travel and weekend usage and having a full set of activities to complement that, is a large part of the draw.
When did you find out that you had won?
A couple hours ago.
Today? Yeah.
I didn't know until this morning, too.
Come on.
I didn't know until this morning.
Nobody had passed you a little note or an envelope or make sure you're wearing your best threads?
Look, we hoped to win, but this is the nature of the competition, and I applaud it. You know, it's obviously there's some nerves around, and there were other people who were equally, you know, had chances to win, but this is the competition bred, I think, the best ideas. It was a great format for New York Power Authority to follow.
And Jamie Kowalczyk, I guess you didn't know either, did you?
No, we had no idea. I think Gil joked it was kind of like the Oscars. We were all sitting at the tables and the envelope came out and then
the world is a game show now. It's too late. The world is a game show. Jamie Kowalczyk is assisting planning director for Madison County and member of the Canalside Pocket Neighborhoods team. And so we've been talking about the Erie Armada, this event, the vision for this. the Pocket Neighborhood's a totally different concept. So let's walk through what your team put together, and it's one of the winning projects. So how did it come together?
Sure. So we've been hearing about how much the canal resonates with folks, how it's so scenic and it's tied to the history and the culture of the area, and how when people come here, they want to come back. There's just something about the canal that draws people. And so our thought was, let's have them live here too. Let's, you know, as the canal has shifted over the last 200 years from an industrial use to a recreational and tourism use, the land adjacent to the canal hasn't fully caught up to that. We have a lot of vacant properties along the canal, a lot of old industrial sites or underutilized properties. And so our thought was, let's reuse these sites that are oftentimes just a stone throw from the community's downtown and revitalize them into places that people can live. And then we partnered that idea with what is called a pocket neighborhood, which are being done around the country. And a pocket neighborhood is a diversified type of housing neighborhood that surrounds green space and provides public amenities to the people that live there. And we know that young professionals, millennials, seniors looking to age in place, that's the kind of neighborhood they're looking to live in, where they feel connected to one another, where they can walk to places. And so you partner that with the aspects of the canal, which, as Gil said, it's soon to be the longest trail network in the country, and it's waterfront. I mean, how many people get to open up their front door and have a trail and a waterway right out their front door? And so that's the Canal Side Pocket Neighborhood.
Yeah, if you go town to town, jogging, riding bicycles, et cetera, on the canal, certainly there's places that are really well-developed, thriving villages. I mean, here in the Rochester area, there's a bunch, of course. Then if you're going for 10, 15, 20, 30 miles, you'll see sites where you go, boy, I can't believe there's nothing sitting here. Or, as you say, you'll find sites that are obviously sort of shells of former industrial sites. And Canastota is the site for this particular project, right?
Correct. That's where we want to pilot it. The canal runs right through the heart of their downtown. Canastota has embraced the canal, and they've branded around the canal, and they've done a lot of things to redo their main street and bring in new businesses. And so we think that this is going to be a great spark for them and a great place to pilot this concept for the first time, but it certainly could be replicated across the whole corridor.
Canastota is how big?
So the population is about 5,000 people, but that's how it came to be, is because of the Erie Canal. And when you're there, you can still feel that. Yes.
It is a village. And again, about for Rochesterians or folks in the Finger Lakes listening, Canastota is about 90 minutes or so east of Rochester. It's a little east of Syracuse.
Correct. It's just off the thruway, though, too. So.
And when you looked at the site, why in particular did this village, as you say, they're already doing work to try to utilize the canal. Why did you think it needed this kind of a boost with this kind of funding, this kind of a project, if it was sort of already on its way to using it? Did you have particular parcels of land and places in that village?
Yeah, so Canastota is unique for us in Madison County because the canal runs right through the heart of their downtown. But certainly the parcel that we found, I think that these parcels exist along the whole corridor. And in this case, it's a 2.5-acre site that's literally two blocks from Canastota's downtown that's just sitting there currently vacant. It used to have an industrial use. That building was taken down. And the canal runs right along the northern side of it. And so we could just picture it as a place where people are living, interacting, coming, bringing foot traffic to those new businesses that I was describing Canastota is bringing to their main street. And I think that these sites do exist along the corridor. This one just happens to be the one that we're going to pilot it at first.
Okay. Are there sites that, former industrial sites, are they harder to use because of various conditions?
Certainly. And that's, I think, getting back to what you first said, like how come it doesn't just happen on its own?
Yeah.
There's a lot of complexities to this. And I think, you know, the first step is just recognizing this. Like in Canastota, a lot of their zoning along the canal is still industrial. So you have to first, you know, recognize that maybe we should shift some of that to mixed use or residential. So I think it's just acknowledging at first, but then there are a lot of complexities to properties that have been around for 200 years and used for a lot of different things. But it's not insurmountable.
Yeah, I've got this sort of naive view that, well, who wouldn't want waterfront property? You know, I mean, everybody would want something that is a finite resource. But if there's a lot of work to, I don't know if remuneration is the right word, but sort of rehabilitating or maybe just eliminating what's on a site and starting from scratch. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and the thing about a pocket neighborhood, too, is you really can't do half of it. You really have to, you know, build out the whole site and provide those common green spaces, provide those connections to the trail, and kind of integrate it all together, which is different than a conventional housing unit where you're just putting one house on one lot, another house on another lot. And so I think that's the extra challenge of the pocket neighborhood. But like I said, there's been successful ones done other places. And so the combination of the pocket neighborhood and the Erie Canal is really where what makes this so special.
What's the term pocket come from in this?
Pocket because there tend to be smaller lots that all the houses surround one common green space. So it's not a huge residential development, and they can fit in a lot of different places, which is why I think it will be so flexible for different places.
Reasonably affordable?
Yeah, depending on the different markets that are out there. And like I said, it's diversified housing. So like in our concept, we offer a range of housing from single family to an apartment complex to even we want to try to weave in some live work units where people live on the upper floors, but then they might have a shop in the ground floor. And so again, so all different price points. And if you live in that neighborhood, you have all different kinds of neighbors too, like at different stages in their lives, different income levels. It just adds to the vibrancy of that neighborhood.
You also talked about the importance of green space to, I mean, we could say millennials. It's really young workers and workers of all backgrounds. I mean,
absolutely.
Sometimes empty nesters, sometimes people from all different sort of parts of their life. I think that's a trend that we're seeing here in Rochester. There's a lot of talk about walkability. They're filling in an old inner loop. They're trying to reconnect neighborhoods that were separated by various barriers over the years. Are you seeing, I mean, this concept seems to be traveling, and that's kind of what's playing out here?
Yeah, absolutely. We're playing on that. And the fact that the Erie Canal, you know, people are using it for recreation, but I think there's even more potential to use it for transportation. And so people who live in this neighborhood, you know, I work in Wampsville. Canastota is 3 miles away. Wampsville and Canastota are connected via the Erie Canal. If I lived in that pocket neighborhood, I could easily hop on my bike, travel off road and get to work. And so I think there's that dynamic too, like not just for health and exercise, but also to use it for non-motorized transportation.
Coming up here, I'll take some feedback from listeners if you want to call the program. We're talking about the winners of this competition and the really remarkable ideas that they brought that won a competition with, what, 140 plus different entries, Gil?
145.
But if you want to call the program, because we want to get a sense from our listeners is, what do you think about number one, an event like Erie Armada, and a pocket neighborhood, living on the canal, envisioning this kind of space, not just sort of haphazardly putting up housing, but really trying to envision what a smaller neighborhood surrounding green space would look like. 844-295-TALK. Do you think that there's more opportunity for this kind of space along the canal, old industrial sites, etc.? 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Gil Quinones is president and CEO of the New York Power Authority. Why do you think the pocket neighborhoods idea stood out?
It's a great idea. The canals own a lot of property along the canal itself. And if we could transfer the ownership of those vacant land, maybe former industrial land, to a mixed use and pocket neighborhood type development. You know, it's 524 miles of canal, so there will be a lot of opportunities for this idea. And it's such a great idea. You know, the judges of this competition told me how impressed they were with the skill and the imagination of Jamie and her team in putting this plan together.
Well, and right on cue, here's an email from a listener named Michael who wants to know who owns most of the area along the canal. So 524 total miles?
Yes, but a lot of the land along the canals, not all, but we do, the New York State canals own a lot of the land. And so we need to be creative as a state. Our governor has always said that we need to reimagine to on what those assets can be used. You know, historically, we've built structures having our backs to the canal or to waterfront. And we're really thinking about, you know, we ought to build homes and businesses that face the water.
Gil, I remember, was it last year or the year before when Genesee Brewing had those huge tanks coming down the canal? And there was it was funny, you know, the people would be out on their docks in the canal and waving as the things came by, or maybe drinking a Jenny when they were coming by. And it was fun, but it felt more like a one-off. Yeah. I mean, are we ever going to see actual commercial transportation in any significant way? Or is this a real fully reimagining because it's a different era now?
Yeah, I think commercial transportation really is the past.
Yeah.
I think going forward, it's tourism and recreation. It's supporting agriculture. Doing the kind of ideas that we're talking about here today.
And Jamie Kowalczyk, when we talk about this multiplier effect, how do you view that from your perspective? Because again, you get into this competition, there's a good amount of money at stake here. And the question is, what can you do with that and how can you make a return on that investment?
Well, I think what's so powerful for us is, again, you mentioned that, you know, we're a smaller community, and there's lots of small communities along the canal. But with the reach of this competition, I think that we could attract developers from farther afield because of this competition, the attention that it's bringing, that can really come in and bring this to life. And so I think that's what it means for us. In one way of a multiplier effect. In another way, as I mentioned, if we bring people back to our downtowns, they're the ones who are visiting the restaurants and the shops and the breweries, and increasing that foot traffic is just going to make our community so much healthier. And another thing about it is, you know, you mentioned all the people that are traveling along the canal, and sometimes you said, you know, you look over and you can't believe that site's not being used.
Right.
We're going to reactivate those spaces. So as the millions of people who use the trail come through, it's all of a sudden more lively. And we want to integrate some public amenities and components into these pocket neighborhoods too, along the waterway.
All right. Let's get our only break of the hour. I've got some more emails from listeners who are want a little bit more. I think that they join later. A listener named Mark wanted to know, again, when's the beer event? So we'll go back to that in just a second here. And we'll talk a little bit more about these winning entries just announced earlier this morning here in Rochester with the New York Power Authority and the Canal Corporation announcing two winners in their $2.5 million global competition with the goal of finding the two best projects that would serve and spur economic growth, recreation, tourism all along the Erie Canal. 145 entries, two winners, and you're meeting them and hearing about them this hour. We'll be right back on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, the author of the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, is in Rochester for a day-long event tomorrow focusing on employment and poverty regarding people who live with disabilities. It's Senator Tom Harkin, the retired senator from Iowa, was once a presidential candidate. We'll talk about the legacy of the ADA, employment, poverty, and more next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Should tell you that Jamie Kowalczyk, who is Assistant Planning Director for Madison County, is reminding me that they do have bridges in Madison County, but they didn't have any books about it. It's a different Madison County, different state. But you do have the Boxing Hall of Fame in Canastota?
That's right. The International Boxing Hall of Fame is in Canastota.
The International Boxing Hall of Fame. And now, of course, one of the two selected winners in this competition for redeveloping, revitalizing along the canal. A different Michael writes to us on email, says, if I missed it, I have a question. Are the pocket neighborhoods single-family homes around a common green space, or are they duplex families, double houses, or are they apartment complexes?
Again, the pocket neighborhood is a concept that's being done across the country. And in some cases, they are single family homes only, like kind of more cottage style. And our concept of the idea for the canal is we want to see it be diversified homes so that there's a variety of different people living there and activating the space. So we've talked about doing some single family, some duplexes, and an apartment complex, and maybe even weaving in some live-work units. So,
who conceptualized this? I ask because, you know, you're here representing this project, but there's always a lot of people involved. And I wonder what the buzz is going to be like in a village like that for this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a team working with us. So I'm with the Madison County Planning Department, but we have worked really closely with an architecture firm called Stream Collaborative based out of Ithaca. And they've actually done a few pocket neighborhoods, one in Ithaca, the Aurora Pocket Neighborhood. And we also worked with Camoin Associates to do a market study to understand just exactly what the housing demand is in Canastota and the different price points and the things. So it was a team effort bringing a lot of different expertise to understand what we could conceptualize for this project.
But if you're telling me the truth, Jamie, and you didn't know until just a few hours ago that you'd won this thing, I imagine that the word is just starting to hit there, and I wonder what the buzz is going to be like.
Oh, It's huge. I mean, just we're small communities, and the canal means so much to us. And as I said too, we've done so much around the canal in terms of embracing the history, doing events, really telling the story. And so this additional spark, pushing us into the next several years with the canal is just very exciting. I know they're all excited back in Canastota.
Mark emails to ask the program when and where on the beer event. So once again here, if you missed it earlier, the name is the Erie Armada, and it's an event. Well, Rory, why don't you just real quick, kind of the back of the envelope description for listeners who missed it, this event that should be coming our way roughly a year from now and will be an annual event.
Sure. To answer when, we'll announce that in the early part of 2019. The intention is fall of 2019. The Erie Armada is a three-day celebration along the canal and fun competition celebrating craft breweries near and far on the canal.
Okay. And where's it going to be?
It is going to be announced in early part of 2019 where exactly we have some development to go, but I can tell you it will be on the Erie Canal. I can confirm that here.
I would hope so. Likely to be upstate toward Western New York? Do we think, are there contenders for location?
Yeah, I can actually go into a little bit of the why that's not announced immediately.
Sure.
There is development work to be done for the latter part of this year for that announcement of next year. But some of the parameters for the event, 15 miles in the Erie Canal with an average kayaking speed of 3 miles an hour brings a 5-hour race. We felt any more than that would be possibly too hard to do, especially if there's a party the night before. And any less than that, maybe not enough to entice that destination traveler. The locations then on either side, we need space for that. We need infrastructure from like local townships, and we need a way for people to get there, park their cars, or travel through public transit. So these are all considerations that balance each other out, and we're using the last part of this year to get it right the first time. And by no means does that first year iteration mean it's going to be always there. The idea is that this can travel and evolve as the event evolves.
Yeah, very cool. And as co-founder of Area 4, it's an event design firm. You know something about making events work. What are the kinds of ingredients that make a three-day event like this work? And you know, what do you kind of put on the top of your list that you must have to make sure it's going to work?
I think the most important thing for any project that we work on is to understand what the goals are from either a client perspective or just the goals in general. So from the overall perspective of getting people to the canal, obviously we're looking for something enticing that hasn't been done before, isn't just recreating another type of event. I think that would have been borne out on the private side already. So something that's new. Something that leverages different trends, something that mashes them together. A mashup always is helpful. And something that's authentic here. Ultimately, for this kind of event, we need people to attend. We need craft breweries to be involved. And we'd love everything along the supply chain to be involved, either from a sponsor or partner level. And we need people to have fun. So that's the main thing.
So the money involved here, Gil, will help fund what they need to bring in, I imagine, the infrastructure, the different participants, et cetera, here. Take me through some of that.
Absolutely. So the funds that were awarded today will be used in part in preparation, in this case, for the event next year. And for Madison, it's for the continued planning for the pocket neighborhoods. And NYPA and the Canal Corporation were still in the process of putting together a longer strategy for the canals itself. All seven entries or finalists today were just awesome and fantastic.
Briefly mention a few of the ones who didn't make the cut here? Because there were a lot of really interesting videos and ideas that we saw.
There's one that will reactivate the winter activities along the canals. You can do ice skating and other type of activities. One is about irrigation, expanding the irrigation in Western New York especially, so that higher value crops can be planted and harvested. So just great stuff. One is about you know, this artwork that can be built, intra-works along the canals, similar to what's been done in Scotland. So there were just, you know, each of the seven finalists. And I was happy I was not a judge.
You didn't have to.
Yeah, I didn't have to pick.
Make some of those decisions.
I just did the announcement.
We've got I was going to save this a little bit later, but I got an email from a listener named Angela who wanted to know about winter activity. And so two things. Angela said, how about winter activities and how about putting more people actually on the water, not just around it on the canal? So that's important. And that's part of what Rory and Jamie's event. So you want to hit that, Rory and Jamie, too?
Sure. I mean, you know, the Canal Corporation has, you know, really they put out a canal recreation way plan some years ago, which is kind of a setting the table for some of the things that we're working on. But yeah, I mean, the canal is a very unique waterway for recreation. It's still, so things you can't do other places you can do on the canal, and those things are kind of, they're hot right now, I guess. They stand up paddleboarding. You can stand up paddleboard on the canal. It's an accessible place to fish. You can usually walk right down a nice trail and then go fishing wherever you want. There's lots of stuff you can do. And the other kind of cool thing that we tried to work in the proposal was a unique experience, which is going through a lock in a kayak or a smaller boat. So, but you know, there's power boats that go through the entire system to get to the Great Lakes or vice versa, and they go through the locks. It's really cool, though, if you have 20 or 100 small boats and you're all going through a lock together, especially if we're talking, you know, Little Falls had, the highest, you know, elevation lock in the world at one point. So imagine going through that with 200 other kayakers and having kind of like a rest stop there too as part of this event. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, very much so. And I'm curious to know, Jamie, if you see the use, actual water usage, not just around it, because you've talked a lot about the trails, transporting along the trails, et cetera, but how about on the water usage?
Oh, absolutely. So we're on the old Erie Canal, the longest intact portion of the more historic and enlarged canal from the 1800s. But it's still, you can still paddle it today. We actually have hosted 2 years in a row the old Erie Canal boat float. And this past summer, we had 800 people come out and paddle about 10 miles along the old Erie Canal. And they have a wonderful experience seeing wildlife, passing by communities. And so certainly that will be part of the public component of the neighborhood along the canal. We envision kayak launch. We envision even some community building space too, with restroom or something like that, kind of like a welcome gateway to Canastota and the canal.
Do you suspect if this works pretty well, the Pocket neighborhood in Canastota, particularly in conjunction with a canal-centric project, can you see this kind of model continuing to travel to different communities along the canal?
Absolutely. I think this is the type of housing that people are looking for, and I think that it's something that New York is uniquely poised to provide, and there's certainly no reason why it couldn't be replicated across the whole corridor.
Mm-hmm. Gil?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are plenty of land, right, that can be redeveloped and adapted for new uses as being envisioned in this Pocket neighborhood. Couple that with some really cool events, I think that's a good combination.
What would you say to Angela and her thoughts about actually putting people on the water itself? Does that continue to be a focus?
Absolutely. I think for recreation, especially for kayaking, paddleboarding, small boats, absolutely. I think it's going to continue, and we believe it's going to grow.
And her first part of the email, she was asking about winter events. So again, that was one of the finalists. There was an emphasis on that. It wasn't one of the winners. Doesn't mean that kind of idea isn't something that you'd like to see explored, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We are going to continue with each of the seven finalists and see how we can incorporate their ideas into the longer strategic plan that we're trying to craft for the canals.
I want to hire Rory for 1 second here. I want to role play a little. I'm going to hire you as the city of Rochester, and I need your event planning expertise to tell me, hey, look, we've got parcels in this city that there's been a lot of debate about what to do with. Really valuable downtown land. Should we turn it into a big theater? Should we turn it into retail space and other things? Some people think we should turn it into mostly green space, you know, pop up restaurants and food trucks, etc. But they're convinced that we can get people to successful events in the winter, all year round. And if we leave that parcel open for recreation, it won't just be dead for 3 months. In your experience, can we do that?
Yes, you can. I don't know if you have like winter festivals or winter jams, but that's a great way to activate an empty space in the wintertime. You can control aspects of it. I know you get snow up here, a decent amount, but you can pump in snow. There's some great partners from in the state as well that can bring snow.
We're usually pretty good with snow.
All right. Just checking. You can extend the season.
Yeah.
If people are really into the winter, you can extend it.
Okay. And so in other words, don't necessarily think that you can never get anybody outside in the winter.
It does get a decent amount colder up here
yeah.
than downstate or other regions of the country. But I wouldn't dismiss it at all. I think winter activities are a great time to be outdoors.
All right. And let me get one more question. Patrick called into the program and just wanted to know, he said he grew up in Pittsford. He says, when the canal's drained, it's ugly. How can we keep water in it so it's pretty all year round? Gil.
Well, there are times when we need to maintain the canals.
Sorry, Patrick. It's just part of the maintenance, right?
Exactly. It's part of the maintenance. But there could be, you know, in the future, again, one of the ideas, one of the entries today, conceived of as sort of a pontoon platform that you put over the canal, and you can have either an ice hockey rink on top of it or some other type of winter activity. I thought that was a pretty cool idea, so certainly we're going to try and explore that, and that will beautify the canal, or at least sections of the canals, if we can do that.
All right, Gil, I know you want to leave our listeners with the idea that things are growing and thriving. You've got events that are coming online with really seasoned, thoughtful planners. You have a community that's going to put a pocket neighborhood, the kind of thing that we could see popping up in other places. But, you know, I also wonder if you're kind of going against a difficult tide here, or if you think you're kind of settling into what the canal is going to be for a long time here, which is, again, away from the commercial shipping, recreation, maybe some village and town planning around it. What do you want to leave our listeners with as you think about the vision for this asset for a long time here?
I think the vision is it will be primarily a tourism and recreational asset. It will support agriculture. And it's really a source of tremendous possibilities. We heard today, the two winners in the competition. But I guarantee you, as we continue this journey, that there will be ideas that we haven't even thought of today. That happened with the High Line in New York. It also started with a competition. And the winning entry was discarded. And just look at all the other things that happened between 14th Street and 34th Street on the west side of Manhattan. I believe that this is even bigger because this is longer, it's outside, and there's water, and it's fantastic. And I think I'm very, very optimistic of what's to come.
Of those seven finalists, there were different videos online. If you want to check it out, you can do that. Gil, where can our listeners still take a look at some of that?
Either at the New York Power Authority website or the New York State Canals website. They are also featured in all of our social media platforms.
So check it out. And again, the two winners, the Erie Armada and the Pocket Neighborhoods. And congratulations to them. That's Gil Quinones, who's president and CEO of the New York Power Authority. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having us.
You got it. Appreciate the conversation. Jamie Kowalsik, Safe Travels Back. Thanks for coming in here. Assistant Planning Director for Madison County and member of the Canalside Pocket Neighborhoods team, which just found out this morning that they are one of the two winners. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
And to Jamie Meerdink and Rory McAvoy, who are from the Erie Armada team. Congratulations to you guys. Again, there's clearly going to be a lot of interest as you get ready to make some announcements early in next year to let the public know when and where this 3-day event's going to be. But beer, Erie Canal, pretty good combination. Congratulations, both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Much more connections coming up next.